I'm going to be focusing today on one of the petitions of the Lord's Prayer, and it's going to be a pretty simple message, kind of the bread and butter of how does one become a Christian and the life of a Christian as well. So let us give our attention again to the reading of God's Word as I will read verses 1 through 15 of Matthew chapter 6. Let us hear our Lord. Take heed that you do not do your terrible deeds before men to be seen by them. Otherwise, you have no reward from your Father in heaven. Therefore, when you do a charitable deed, do not sound a trumpet before you as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and in the streets, for they may have glory from men. Assuredly, I say to you, they have their reward. But when you do a charitable deed, do not let your left hand know what your right hand is doing, that your charitable deed may be in secret, and your Father who sees in secret will himself reward you openly. And when you pray, you shall not be like the hypocrites, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues and on the corners of the streets, that they may be seen by men. Assuredly, I say to you, they have their reward. But when you pray, go into your room, and when you have shut your door, pray to your Father who is in secret, and your Father who sees in secret will reward you openly. And when you pray, do not use vain repetitions as the heathen do, for they think that they will be heard for their many words. Therefore, do not be like them, for your Father knows the things you have need of before you ask him. In this manner, therefore, pray. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And do not lead us into temptation, but deliver us from the evil. For yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. For if you forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. And may the Lord add to us the blessing of hearing his word. Relationships more often than not break apart due to someone saying or doing something to another person that person cannot forgive. We all experience this sad reality in life from time to time. Yet our most important relationship is that with our God, who is not only our Creator, but who is our King of Kings. And this relationship is broken the moment we are born, because we have a sin nature. And we add on to our sin nature by our own particular sins that we commit. And we must be mindful, God truly has not offended us, but we are the ones who offended God when we have sinned. Yet God's word and this prayer in particular has given us direction how to repair that problem. For mostly by seeking forgiveness that is found in Christ. Now, as you look at this prayer, and I know you're all familiar with this prayer, it makes no sense to offer the other petitions if you do not sincerely make this petition your own. Will you truly praise God if you never seek his forgiveness? Reconciliation must take place between a sinner and a God. That is the life goal of every human being on earth. And it starts with the realization that you are created in the image of God. It's a fallen image. It's a broken image. But an image just the same. And we have failed to live to the standard. We have failed to have the desire to live to the standard when we dwell in sin. And there is a judgment to come. We are not to look what's going to be, what's the end result of my life here on earth? What is the end result after your life on earth? This petition directs your attention to the most important thing to obtain in this life, a right relation with your God. If only a fraction of the time we spend in studying, work, or even recreation was given to this goal, how much better off we would see the world. But we must seek the goal of this petition for the restoration of our souls. One of the Puritans rightly discerned, he said, if our sins be not pardoned, we can take but little comfort in our food. As a man that is condemned takes little comfort from the meat you bring him in prison without a pardon. So though we have daily bread, yet it will do us no good unless sin be forgiven. Daily bread may satisfy the appetite, but forgiveness of sin satisfies the conscience. Praying to God for forgiveness speaks clearly to the reality that only God can forgive sins. And even the Pharisees who did not believe on Jesus understood this. When they saw and heard him forgive a man of his sins after he healed him, demonstrating his power and his deity, they thought they were being zealous in their orthodoxy and say, who can forgive sins but God? And so we must be mindful. Yes, we must seek the forgiveness from our God. Now, as we read this prayer, this model prayer, it talks about debts. It might seem strange. How come many translations really haven't gone aboard and updated the language? Debts. Why is it talking about debts? We do not owe God money. We have not taken a loan in heaven. Why debts? Well, it's interesting how God describes the effects of sin. In Romans chapter 6, 23, a very well-known passage, it says, for the wages of sin is death. But you know, God never brings bad news without good news. But the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus, our Lord. See, sin is a debt you pay with your life for all of eternity. Salvation, of course, is neither debt nor wage, but it is a free gift. Not out of obligation, like we give gifts because of a certain date on the calendar. But God's gift is fully free. And so for God to forgive your debt or your sin requires a payment. If you're not going to die through all eternity, then someone must do it in your place. And that's where the Son of God comes in. Of his own will, he offered himself as that reasonable and perfect sacrifice. And so what are we asking God when we pray this petition? We're saying, please, Lord, pay this debt, for I cannot of myself. And I do not want to pay it. Have mercy upon me. That is what we are saying in essence in this petition of the Lord's Prayer. Now often in our land where Christianity has been so long in the history of our nation, there's a thought that God, yes, has paid the debt, and we must simply acknowledge that Jesus is the Savior. that he does forgive sinners, and then all will be well with us. But the key is you must realize your guilt. You must acknowledge your specific sins before God in praying this prayer. And it is something you must pray and pour out your heart over. Not simply acknowledge. Often we get false comfort in what we do, what we have done in the Christian life. What I mean by this is many times membership in the church, although it is very important, you must realize that is not the means of assurance. Baptism is necessary. You're confessing your faith in God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. Your children are being acknowledged as part of the covenant. But baptism does not bring forth salvation. Prayer for forgiveness is the starting point. Jesus is the author and finisher of our faith. Let us not lose sight of that. And that is the comfort. You do not work out your own salvation on your own without grace. You don't work it out without the work and redemption of Christ and the application of that by the Holy Spirit. But you must do certain things in the Christian faith. And praying for forgiveness, you do not simply once, but you do it continually. Because if you pray for forgiveness, then is the most vital sign that there is a Spirit of God in you, dwelling, working in you, sanctifying you. But if you leave off prayer, you testify that your own will and your own means, you will secure forgiveness. Or at the very worst, you testify, I have no need for Christ, since you ask for no forgiveness. Now, Jesus repeatedly taught about the need and methods of seeking forgiveness. And of course, this is not reserved for the New Testament. We have that wonderful passage in Micah chapter 7. How God promised He would fully put away sin for His people. But there is a reoccurring theme in Scripture that deals with the problem Christians have in forgiving others. So there's two applications of this prayer. We do, first and foremost, ask forgiveness from God because we sin against God. But we also must forgive others. And Matthew chapter 18 is a chapter often quoted in Presbytery meetings or at Synod when there is some matter of appeal coming to the court, or some brother or sister is offended by another, or perhaps they're offended by the session of what they have done or not done. And Matthew 18 talks about the steps you're to do to resolve sin when someone has sinned against you. And Peter, as honest as he is, states in this chapter how difficult it is to forgive when people constantly are sinning against you. So I want to direct you to that chapter, Matthew 18. Start with verse 21, read through verse 35. And we'll go through some other New Testament passages to dwell on forgiveness. And of course, Peter starts this conversation with a question, a very practical one. Peter came to him, meaning Jesus, and said, Lord, how often shall my brother sin against me and I forgive him? Up to seven times? Jesus said to him, I do not say to you up to seven times, but to 70 times seven. Therefore, the kingdom of heaven is like a certain king who wanted to settle accounts with his servants. And when he had begun to settle accounts, one was brought to him who owed him 10,000 talents. But as he was not able to pay, his master commanded that he be sold and his wife and children and all that he had, and that payment be made. The servant therefore fell down before him, saying, Master, have patience with me, and I will pay you all. Then the master of the servant was moved with compassion, released him, and forgave him the debt. But the servant went out and found one of his fellow servants who owed him 100 denarii, and he laid hands on him and took him by the throat, saying, Pay me what you owe. So his fellow servant fell down at his feet and begged him, saying, Have patience with me, and I will pay you all. And he would not, but went and threw him into prison till he should pay the debt. So when his fellow servant saw what had been done, they were very grieved and came and told their master all that had been done. Then his master, after he had called them, said to him, You wicked servant, I forgave you all the debt because you begged me. Should you not also have compassion on your fellow servant, just as I had pity on you? And his master was angry and delivered him to the torturers until he should pay all that was due to him. So my heavenly Father also will do to you if each of you from his heart does not forgive his brother his trespasses. Too often we forget how greatly we have been forgiven if we are in Christ. We forget the magnitude of that love and compassion of God, and then we do not extend that love and compassion towards others. Pride must not enter into the equation. Sin against God is your major concern, not the sin of one against you. Of course, we are to seek to resolve sin. We must deal with sin, whether it's in our heart or whether it's someone's life that affects us. We are to resolve it if we can. I say that because we can extend forgiveness, but we cannot always cause or influence somebody to stop sinning against us. And maybe the temptation is, oh, it must not matter that much. I try to forgive most people, but there are some people that are too difficult to forgive. You all know somebody, or perhaps a number of people like that. But notice the emphasis in the Lord's Prayer. Or actually, also past the Lord's Prayer, verse 14, 15 of Matthew 6. Jesus gives the model prayer, and then he continues to expound upon it in verse 14 and 15 of Matthew 6, where he says, For if you forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. That seems a little troubling theologically. Almost looks like a works righteousness. Or that we can earn our salvation. If I forgive somebody, then God is indebted to forgive me. That's not what the Lord is saying. See, Christ places emphasis on forgiveness and expounds on this particular petition. You must. It's not optional. It's not something you are to do at some future time, but you must forgive those who have sinned against you. And it's not up to your mood. Well, often Christians will say just that. I don't feel like forgiving them. I am still mad at them. Well, then you have a problem. The problem is not them waiting for you to not be mad. It's you to deal with your heart. And the Lord confronts us in Luke chapter 17, where again, if you want to turn there, starting with verse 1, he again talks about sin and forgiveness. Jesus has to keep teaching on this because we have a difficult time with it. Luke 17, verse 1. Then he said to the disciples, It is impossible that no offenses should come. But woe to him through whom they do come. It would be better for him if a millstone were hung around his neck and he were thrown into the sea, that he should offend one of these little ones. Take heed. Take heed to yourselves. If your brother sins against you, rebuke him, and if he repents, forgive him. And if he sins against you seven times in a day, and seven times in a day returns to you saying, I repent, you shall forgive him. And the apostles said to the Lord, increase our faith. So the Lord said, if you have faith as a mustard seed, you can say to the mulberry tree, be pulled up by the roots and be planted in the sea, and it would obey you. And which of you, having a servant plowing or tending sheep, will say to him when he has come in from the field, come at once and sit down to eat? But will he not rather say to him, prepare something for my supper and gird yourself and serve me till I have eaten and drunk, and afterward you will eat and drink? Does he thank the servant because he did the things that were commanded him? I think not. So likewise, you, when you have done all those things which you are commanded, say, we are unprofitable servants. We have done that which was our duty to do. So what if you truly don't feel like forgiving somebody? Recognizing that situation, you have a need, as the apostles said, to increase your faith. So you can do that which is not of your will, not of your inclination, but that which is of God's will. That which is of God's inclination. See, this is a daily need for all of us. See, when the apostles said increase our faith, they confessed that they themselves did not have the will and means to forgive somebody who kept doing the same thing to them again and again and again. Didn't seem like they really meant they repented when they did it seven times in a day. But Jesus responds to the request, increase our faith. Now take the second illustration Jesus gives. Imagine that you are that servant, plowing. They didn't have tractors back then. You're well off if you had a donkey or an ox. Sometimes you were pushing the plow. You're working all day in the hot sun. You're breaking your back. You come in from the field exhausted, sweaty, sore, and very hungry. And your master has the nerve to say to you, fix my dinner. And this is not the day of crock pots or microwaves or any fast food delivery. If there's meat served, you have to kill the animal. You have to prepare it. Even if the animal is already killed, you are going to work a long time to make that supper. Serve the table. Master eats, and it's going to be really late before you eat. And guess what? You're not going to eat what he eats. You're going to eat the poor quality food. And in the end, he's not going to thank you. Because as a servant, that's your duty. That's what's expected of you. So likewise, although difficult at times, Jesus is acknowledging that. Can you plant a tree in the sea? No. Trees float on the sea. They are not planted. It is impossible to plant a tree in the sea. But if you have faith, you can, in essence, do just the impossible. It is your duty before God. And the Lord will not pat you on the back because you have forgiven someone. For God will not be indebted to you, but we are indebted to the Lord. The Lord, in another place, in Matthew 5, again, speaks of the need to be reconciled with our brother. And in that situation is when we are aware that we have offended our brother or our sister, that you are to go to them. Forget about that gift you might bring to that altar. It's more important for you to be reconciled and to do it quickly. And often we can get to a point, and even in a close-knit church, where we can become very casual in our relationships. and perhaps become cynical. Perhaps things are going difficult for us, and we become cynical towards others around us. And we find ourselves at odds with our brother or sister in the faith. And we tend to complain about them rather than to speak to them. We give fuel to the conflict rather than resolve and seek reconciliation. And this is the sin nature working in us. When we're not seeking to do which God has called us to do, when we're not giving the problem to prayer, asking for God's grace to overcome. And there are times when we are sinned against and it hurts to our core. It hurts deeply. And we think this transgression is too great for me to forgive. And then we might be of the mind that I do not want to give up this hurt. Do you remember Jesus coming to a man who was crippled? John 5. And he asked the most strange question that I ever heard. Do you want to be healed? The man's crippled. Of course he wants to be healed. Jesus had a reason for it. Do you want to be healed? And what about us? Do we want to be healed? Do we want to have a relationship healed? Or rather, do we want to fester it? Do we want to dwell on it? Do we want to share it with every person we can talk to? That, guess what so-and-so did to me? Oh, guess what they've done to me now? We like to pick at the sore. We want it infected. We have some sinful satisfaction if we can heap dirt and gossip on someone. Maybe they'll hurt. Maybe they'll hurt like I hurt it. Maybe more. Now we are called to be peacemakers. We are to labor for peace. We are not become bitter and resentful in our hearts. Even if you're angry, let it be a righteous anger, but let it not turn into unrighteous bitterness. At times you may confront a brother or sister in the faith, and then everything scriptural to seek to resolve the problem at hand. And yet they might not repent. They might not confess they have sinned against you. Then the question is, can you then leave it in the Lord's hand and let Him deal with it as He will? If you've been faithful to your duty, then that is all that you're called to do. And certainly you can pray for that person. If a person ignores you, ignores the church, trust in the Lord, that your comfort is in Him, and deal with your own sin. Because if we come to a place where we cannot forgive someone for the sins they have committed against us, we are in a very dangerous place spiritually. Think of the heroes of the faith, the heroes of the church throughout the centuries. The heroes are the ones, for the most part, who were killed for their faith. They were persecuted. They were maligned. But know what you read again and again when their last words are recorded? If they are, they forgive those who are killing them, as Stephen did to Saul. They praise the Lord. They acknowledge that they have forgiveness in Christ. They have the love of God, and so they can extend it to their tormentors. And there are many, many stories of the tormentors. People have killed Christians being converted through the testimony of that forgiveness. We have this blessed promise of forgiveness by God in Hebrews chapter 8, verse 12. For I will be merciful to their unrighteousness and their sins and their lawless deeds I will remember no more. We must remember that. God does not bring our sins back to us. Your sins are forgiven, they are forgiven. Case closed. And notice that the Lord's Prayer is a prayer. to the Lord. That is why it has that title. We do not pray to a priest or even to a pastor, but we pray to the Lord. It's an act of worship. It's an act of confession. It's an act of piety and humility and one of honesty. So, what can pastors and elders do regarding your sin? All they can do is declare that, especially when they receive somebody into membership of the church, this person shows good, credible evidence that they have sought forgiveness of the Lord, and they want to walk according to His commandments and be guided by His Spirit. We cannot fully declare the heart of another. And let us not forget that faith is required as we pray. James speaks of that very well. We are not to doubt, not be of double-mindedness. We are to have faith. And where does faith come? It comes from God. It's another gift of God. Well, if you do not have faith to forgive others, pray for faith. Does that seem silly? You need faith to pray? You don't have it? Pray for faith. Prayer is always available to all. And the Lord hears the humble prayers of the broken and contrite heart. So we are to be mindful to not let sin of pride overshadow God's forgiveness. And I want to share this because I've seen this at times among Christians who would say, God cannot forgive me because I had an abortion when I was a teenager. God cannot forgive me because I did awful things when I was high on drugs. God cannot forgive me because I abused my wife and children. God cannot forgive me, and just fill in whatever sin you think is the most grievous. But that is not the words of the Lord. That's the words of the devil. And Scripture highlights a number of conversions, and I want to just highlight them with you. Paul, formerly known as Saul, was a Pharisee, and with great zeal he brought persecution against the church. And as I mentioned, Stephen's death by stoning, it was Saul who was leading the charge. And Stephen, following the example of the Lord Jesus, said, Lord, forgive them of this sin. And soon you find that Paul is converted by the power of the Holy Spirit. And the Lord uses Paul in a mighty way to bless and build up the church. Jacob, who lived a life of a cheat and a liar, received forgiveness. King Manasseh, you recall him, he was the greatest sinner among the kings of Judah. What were his great sins? He worshipped the stars in heaven. He killed the righteous in Israel. He offered up his own child as a means of sacrifice. Yet God granted forgiveness to such a sinner as this to demonstrate throughout history that God's grace is greater than your sins and to give you hope that you too can be saved. And let's not forget the sins of the Jews who cried out, crucify, crucify him. The Lord didn't let 2 months go by before he sent the Holy Spirit at Pentecost, and 3,000 of them were saved in one day, and many thousand more were saved after that. So with this prayer, I hope that we are not to approach this thinking that I can mechanically say it. I know it's part of your liturgy. But as we say it in the worship service, be thinking about each petition, and this one in particular, how God has forgiven your sins, how you have need for Him to forgive your sins, and that we are not to speak lightly of our transgressions. Often we say, oh yeah, I'm a sinner. We're all sinners. That should be a heaviness of our heart, not a casual way of speaking. We are to forsake sin and cling to Christ. And let us be mindful nothing will relieve the guilty conscience but confession and seeking forgiveness from God the Father. And we might experience the effects of certain sins. Perhaps we have ruined our health because of some addiction. But if we have sought the Lord's forgiveness, we will have a peace of mind that is eternal. We will have a restoring of our soul that cannot be taken away, because we obtain it through the great high priest, Jesus, who died for sinners, that they may live in him. To seek God is seeking forgiveness. To have forgiveness is the blessing we live for. And we dwell then in holiness, delighting in the commandments of God, because Christ's righteousness is imputed to us. He has accomplished the faithful work which Adam failed to do, and we cannot do in ourselves. So we are testifying one to another when we forgive one another. When we ask one another, "Forgive me, for I have sinned against you, and I seek to repent." Now, if any are here downcast because of some sin or sins in their life, do something about it. Don't dwell in misery. God has not called us to misery or to perpetual suffering, but rather he has called us to go to his Son and find relief from our guilt. We are not to take our sins upon ourselves, thinking that we can pay it somehow, some way. We are to have faith and to believe the account of the Scriptures that Jesus is the sacrifice. There is no other sacrifice to be given. And that is why when he was dying on the cross, he was not speaking about his last breath, the last moment of his physical life. But when he said, "It is finished," he was talking about the work of redemption. It is finished. He has accomplished the forgiveness of your souls. And so we are to seek him for that forgiveness. So let us praise the Lord as we pray. Our Lord and God, we seek, O Father, to be more honest in our prayers, to be more mindful of our transgressions, and to more humbly come confessing our sins and the needs for forgiveness. But Lord, may we be mindful of how far and wide is your forgiveness towards us, that we be of such nature and love and inclination to forgive others easily when they have sinned against us. Help us to understand this truth more fully, to practice it more consistently, for your praise and for others' blessing and for our good as well. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.